heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Tom Lewis from IndyCornrows.com. Here to bring you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. And on today's episode, we'll look back at the Pacers snapping their seven-game win streak in grand fashion, losing 132-117 to the Cleveland Cavaliers at Bankers Life Fieldhouse on Wednesday night. A game that started out really strong for the Pacers, but finished in really poor fashion, as they had no answer for the Cavaliers in the second half in general, nor for Kyle Korver from behind the three-point arc in particular. So before we dig into the game, I want to make sure you reach out with any feedback, your thoughts on the game, or on the team going forward. You can reach me at email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. All right, so let's recap the game real quick. The Pacers took on the defending champs and came out smoking, jumping out to a 36-25 lead in the first quarter. Everything was rolling. Shots were falling from all over. The Pacers were the aggressor, taking the action to the Cavs, and they were controlling the action throughout, and it looked like it might be a very good night for the Pacers, as you knew you had Cleveland coming in after that long night in Washington. LeBron James was playing, but he wasn't necessarily taking over the action at that point, and things were rolling. Now, you know, C.J. Miles came out real hot, made three threes in the first quarter, and he left. He was the first player to sub out for Monte Ellis. And at the time, I was wondering about that move, questioning McMillan for taking out Miles, you know, thinking, yeah, you know, I might leave him in there until he misses one, you know. But at the time, the move paid off. Monte came in, played real well, and they extended their lead with Monte on the floor in the first quarter, and things were rolling. Now from there, moving into the second quarter, you know, the reserve unit held on, kept things in check. And then the Pacers were able to maintain that 11-point lead until really what became the turning point, until the Cavs flipped the switch in the second half. So the Pacers are up 11 points with 35 seconds left in the half. LeBron James goes to the rim. Miles Turner is there to deny the shot, but a goaltend is called. And depending upon your bias looking at that replay, could have been a block, could have been a goaltend. You know, there was also a little chicken wing LeBron gave to Miles on the way up. Regardless, he's going to get that call. Okay, fine. They get the bucket. But then Pacers unable to score. And then Jordan McRae hits a three-pointer. And all of a sudden, that 11-point lead in the last 35 seconds goes down to six. And you're thinking, man, as well as the Pacers played, they're only up six at the half. That could be a problem. Well, it became a huge problem. Only 15 seconds in to the third quarter. On the first possession, LeBron James got loose for a little lob. There's a little miscommunication on defense and a switch. And Miles Turner looked like he had him guarded up, but then stopped. And James was able to lay up the lob on the first possession. And then LaVoy Allen had a lazy pass in and was stolen. Liggins makes a jumper, gets fouled, and makes a three-point play. So now you give up 5 points in the last 35 seconds of the half, first half, and then you give up 5 points again in the first 15 seconds of the second half, and you know that's what 50 seconds, and you gave up 11 point lead is down to one, and now it you know it's an even game, and from there, the Pacers just seemed a little passive, and as I mentioned, how they started the game as the aggressor taking the action to the Cavs, well that completely flipped, and the Cavs were in control and took over the game, outscored the Pacers in the third quarter, 40-18. In the half, they outscored the Pacers 75-54 and just asserted their defending champion will on the Pacers. And it rattled the Pacers. After the game, Nate McMillan spoke about how he thought the team got frustrated, rattled, started doing too much one-on-one. Paul George definitely was trying to get in the lane, getting fouled, wasn't getting it called. In the third quarter, the Pacers had zero free throws as the Cavs were pulling away. A lot of that was from you know bad possessions where they're forcing shots, trying to do things on their own, and you know the offense really just broke down. And that, you know they did make a little run in the fourth quarter. They did win the fourth quarter, but the damage was done in the third quarter, and really the other key component of the game, aside from the Pacers losing that lead, basically in a 50-second stretch, was the fact that Kyle Korver came off the bench and absolutely lit up the field house with 29 points, made 8 of 9 three-pointers, and that included two dagger threes late in the fourth when the Pacers were actually making a run, got down to 7 points, and then were unable to get over that hump. And then Korver just put him out of their misery. But the frustrating part about Korver's shooting was that he was wide open on several of his threes. And, you know, it's almost like you got to play that guy 4-on-4. With his history against the Pacers, you just don't want to leave him open. And, you know, there was one shot, you know, LeBron after the game talked about, you know, how, you know, not all of Korver's shots were wide open. And that, you know, he's just a sharpshooter. And there was one in the corner by the Cavs bench that Glenn Robinson III was right in his face, literally had a hand in his face. And his link, you know, had him covered up about as well as you can without hitting him. And Korver still knocked it down. But there were far too many times in the game where Korver was left open. And one issue with that was his man leaving him to kind of help on defense. There was one egregious play where the ball was going around the perimeter and Jordan McRae was open. And for some reason, Monte Ellis left Korver to go cover up McRae with the ball who was, you know, 3 feet behind the arc and then left Korver wide open. McRae flips the ball down in the corner. Korver swishes the shot. And you're wondering, why in the world would you choose McRae over Korver in that situation? It makes no basketball sense, especially when Korver's going like he was. So that was just frustrating to see. You know, Korver ended the game with 29 points on, you know, made 8 or 9 threes, as I said. Only needed 12 shots to get those 29 points and only needed 26 minutes. So that gave the bench a big boost, and you know before the game yesterday I mentioned how the Pacers may have an advantage with the reserve unit, especially if Iman Shumpert was out and they may start Korver. Well, instead they started DeAndre Liggins and kept Korver in his role off the bench, which worked perfectly as the reserve unit right in that 29-point effort from Korver scored 50 points of the Cavs 132 compared to the 24 they had against the Wizards on 140 points. So they outscored the Pacers bench 50-28, and that was just one of the differences. Another key point in the game was something, you know, Frank Vogel used to talk about, trying to avoid having turnovers for touchdowns where you give up the ball and the other team gets buckets out of it. And, you know, really the Pacers have been pretty good in that department of late. Even when they have had some turnover issues, they haven't gotten burnt by them too badly. That was not the case at the Fieldhouse. Against Cleveland, they turned the ball over 12 times, and the Cavs scored 24 points. I mean, that's obviously a bucket, a turnover, which is not a good ratio. And again, put the Cavs in, you know, position to run away with the win. I did notice that, you know, Greg Doyle from the Indy Star wrote his story about, you know, Paul George kind of challenging LeBron James heading into the season, saying he was ready for LeBron, and this game showing that, you know, he's not ready for LeBron physically or mentally. But really, you know, I think that was a stretch in this game. I think PG and LeBron kind of washed each other out in this one, really. I will say PG did not have a great game by any stretch, and his effort in the third quarter to kind of desperately keep the Pacers in it was not good. But, you know, he had 22 points, 6 assists, 8 rebounds. LeBron had 25 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. Again, kind of washed each other out. The better battle in this game was actually Kyrie Irving and Jeff Teague, both of them going at each other, kind of trying to expose each other's weaknesses on the defensive end. And Kyrie had 29 points, 7 assists, but Teague countered with 22 points and 14 assists. So really, you know, when you look at it, Kyle Korver was the guy that just flipped this game in the Cavs' favor and killed the Pacers in the end. And, you know, that's the defending champs. They are in a mode right now after struggling in January, where it appears that they are trying to, you know, assert their will on the Eastern Conference again, get some momentum rolling. They went hard after Washington on Monday night, had a tough game, pulled out the win. And then their response to the Pacers' strong start tonight was quite impressive, and again, imposed their will and made sure that everyone knows they're still the top dog in the East. So, you know, in that sense, this is no horrible loss for the Pacers. You know, if you're marking them down in pencil before the month starts, you're thinking the Cavs are going to come in and beat the Pacers, and that's what they did. So one thing I do like about kind of the response after the game, the Pacers had a long time talking before the media was available to see them and talk with McMillan and the players. And I have a feeling that the topic of their internal discussion was, how are you going to react? What are you going to do in Washington where you have just as difficult a game on the road against a team that is rolling and trying to mark their territory near the top of the Eastern Conference as well? Paul George said that, you know, he feels that if this team is as good as he thinks it is and as strong as he thinks it is, they're going to show that on Friday in Washington, and he's looking forward to it. And then in that same vein, Nate McMillan mentioned that, you know, this game was a good lesson for us and we should learn from it, and we have another one on Friday night in Washington. So that was kind of the theme coming out of the Pacers leaders after the game, that, hey, this is 1 of 82, a big one, we know, but we can bounce back and have to see how we can respond in Washington, and that will really, you know, measure where we are at this point after losing the first game in 8 games to the Cavs. Now, another interesting comment from McMillan was talking about how the team kind of lost their composure in that third quarter, and the Cavs were able to take advantage. And he's always talked about the 3 C's, you know, remaining calm, being clear and consistent as a team. And he mentioned that after you watched the Super Bowl and the way that the Falcons kind of folded there at the end against the Patriots, he's added 2 more C's. So he added connected and confident, that you got to stay together no matter what's going on, and finish out and remain confident. And I think those last 2 C's are where he saw the breakdown with the Pacers in the second half, that, you know, once things started going the wrong way, they did too much one-on-one, didn't stick with what they were doing and moving the ball, sharing the ball, and being connected, and obviously did not remain confident as the Cavs imposed their will and took home the W. So, rough night, but Pacers are still sitting in a good spot in the East, and the schedule is not getting any easier. They head to Washington, as I mentioned, on Friday. Then back home for the 90s game against the Milwaukee Bucks, which will be big because they're going to need to take care of those games at home, and the Bucks are the only sub-500 team they play for quite a while because on Monday they're back home against the Spurs. So it's going to be a rough next three games, but if they can come away with two of three wins out of that, they'll be back in good shape and really have recovered from this loss, which certainly had to be frustrating considering the way they started out and then the way they finished. So that is all for tonight. Really appreciate you listening to the show. I'd like to hear your thoughts on what the Pacers had to say after the game and how they played during the game. You can reach out to me on email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. And you can listen to the show on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. Thanks for listening. That's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.